Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go. Here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. 23 left.
Will. 1, 2, 3.
This is the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Here's Nate Geary.
Good evening. The Bills get boat raced tonight. It's 35-10. And, not a lot else you can say about tonight's game. Quite a shift from just a week ago when I was in this seat. A day later, similar time, and the Bills coming off of a 47-10 win last week. From start to finish, this really just wasn't a game that had a lot of things go the Bills' way, even when they had found ways to gain some momentum back early in the second half. They shot themselves in the foot. This was a Ravens team that I think going in was a bad matchup. They're a physical team. They like to run the football. And today you saw them do whatever they wanted against this Bills defense. And, you know, there were some plays to start the second half that the Bills started punching back defensively. But, yeah, the turnover and whatever that trick play ended up being tonight ended up really socking the Bills and killing any level of momentum that they had or they were building. Starting the second half with a 3-and-out defensively and then going down the field and having that big play from Allen to Shakir, turning that into their first score, then, you know, forcing Baltimore to punt again. It really felt like the momentum was swinging in the way of the Bills, and it swung back definitively after the turnover. So, difficult night all around. Josh Allen, you know, ends the night with no touchdowns, no interceptions. They really could not get much going offensively tonight. If you are, on team wide receiver train, I think you've got all the ammunition that you'd probably need to be on that side of the team. But we're going to go to the locker room and hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen.
Never felt like you guys got comfortable on offense. Can you kind of talk about some of the problems?
Yeah, I mean, I think they had a good plan, a good pressure plan. They made more plays than we did, and, you know, it was evident right away. They had more urgency than we did, and that's something we'll correct. Not everything was bad in this game. I don't want us to come away from this saying, you know, we're the worst, and lot to learn from. I'm glad this happened early in the season so we can correct things.
Just your perspective, what happened on the play with Curtis, the fake play, and were you all right injury-wise after that, obviously?
Yeah, coach called a shot, and the guy made a good play, and that's as simple as it is. He dove inside, I tried to stay out, and I was just trying to get rid of the ball, and guy made a good play, and that's what it comes down to.
Did you have any impact on your, I think it looks like you're looking at your shoulder afterwards, was there any impact on that?
No, it was more just my low back hitting the ground than anything, so we're good.
What kind of challenges did they present, some edge blitzes and for your line and also communication-wise?
Yeah, make no mistake. That's a good team that we just played. And when they're playing that well, especially on the offense side of the ball, you know, we as an offense have to figure it out, and we have to find a way to match scores. And again, we just didn't do a good enough job tonight. It starts with me, and takes everybody in this building to keep winning and continue winning games. And, you know, like I said, a lot to learn from, and we'll watch this tape, learn from it, flesh it, and look to the next.
Josh, how much of a kick in the gut was it, the Derrick Henry play in their first play? That put you in a hole immediately. Just how much of a gut punch was that to get that early?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, we're going to hit adversity throughout games, throughout the season. We got to find a way to answer, and we just didn't do that tonight.
What did you learn about the team tonight, your team?
I think the no-blink mentality, down 21-3 at halftime, get the ball, score a touchdown. You know, had an opportunity to make it 21-17, and we turned the ball over. So, we were down and out early on, and we kind of stopped the bleeding. And again, we could have done more to really put a Band-Aid over it, and we just let it slip away. So, those plays are really big in the grand scheme of things, and they altered the game. But make no mistake about it, they came out, like I said, with urgency, and, you know, they whipped our butt.
Their defensive game plan, was there anything that surprised you about it, or was it just execution on their end?
I think you know, it was execution on them. They had a good game. Those guys get on the other side, get paid too. So they made, like I said, more plays than us, and we'll learn from it, and we'll be better from this one.
The 52-yard play to Shakir, just what happened on that, being able to extend the play at every time?
Yeah. Again, they brought a little bit of pressure. We had a max protect on, and they dropped a few guys into zone underneath where I wanted to go, and just tried to extend and make a play, and Cleo did a good job of scramble drill there.
So many new guys on this team. You know, there's not a lot of the same guys as years past. How do you ensure that there's not an avalanche and that you guys don't ride the roller coaster after a tough game?
Because, again, I think the guys that make up this locker room understand who we are, what we are. Bless you. And we're not going to let this, again, avalanche. The guys that we have in this building are smart. The guys that have played a lot of football in their careers, so they understand the ebbs and flows of an NFL season, and you know this is going to happen time to time. You know, sometimes you walk into a building, and they were a buzzsaw tonight. They kicked our butt. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Josh, Keon had one in the first half that he probably want back, but he did make a couple of nice contested catches in the second half. Did you say anything to him after that one in the first half, and how good was it to see him make a couple plays there in the second?
Yeah, it was really, really good to see him make some plays, especially after that first one. You know, you don't really, especially now in this league, you don't need to say anything to guys, right? Like, if you do, I think you got some problems. Everybody's trying to do their best. Everybody wants to win. And sometimes, again, plays are going to happen like that. And we're not going to hang our hat on it. We're not going to make us not go to him anymore. You know, it's not the last time it's going to happen either. I mean, we're going to have to find ways to put plays like that aside and keep moving forward. And we just didn't do that tonight.
What did you see from their rush plan that they were either able to keep you in the pocket or sometimes were able to get out and kind of rally the ball pretty quickly?
I mean, I think, again, the communication that we have with me and the O-line could have been better tonight. That's something, again, we'll look at and we'll clean up. But they did, again, they had a solid plan. They kind of understood what we were trying to do, and we got to make adjustments in game.
Dalton Kincaid has yet to surpass 50 yards in a game this season. You think you need to get him going a little bit more to help this offense?
You know, it's not just one certain player we're trying to get going. I'd love to get everybody over 50, over 100 yards every game. You know, and we just got to understand what defenses are trying to do, who they're trying to take away, and you know, make the right reads and throw it to the right guys. Hey, guys.
That was Bills quarterback Josh Allen following tonight's 35-10 loss. And it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer. Let's get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's go to Neil, who's been waiting patiently. Neil, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Neil.
Nate, pleasure as always to speak with you. Thanks for taking my call. This is where the pleasantries end and the anger begins, because you got Sean McDermott, nearly got our franchise quarterback killed on a reverse trick flea flicker when we had the momentum going into that drive and we could have cut the lead to 2 scores. The Ravens, this game was over after the first play. They had 80, he goes 89, Derrick Henry, 89 yards down the field, and they got punched in the mouth and they folded. They could not handle a team that plays bully ball, that's more physical than them. You see their fullback, 300 pounds, a 250-pound running back, and they steamrolled over us on offense, and we had no answers. They should have put up another 10 points if it wasn't for a Mark Andrews drop and a couple of other bad plays by Lamar Jackson defensively. Okay, this is what really irritates me. This team, for the Bills offense, had no adjustments for this Ravens defense. They confused Josh Allen all night. Joe Brady, to me, had the worst game that I've seen him as a coordinator. We had no answers for the Ravens' physicality and defense. We had no answers for their safeties, nothing. And the last part I want to say is this. If you need any more evidence that Sean McDermott is not the coach that's going to get us to the Super Bowl, this game is perfect proof.
Yeah, Neil, I disagree. I mean, listen, I'm definitely also frustrated about the loss. They got their asses kicked on national television on Sunday Night Football. But I just think it's a gross overreaction. It's week four. The Ravens were a bad matchup. They'll be a bad matchup if they have to play again in January. There's no doubt about it. But this is not the example of... They had a 40 straight games where they haven't lost in a regular season game by more than 6 points. It was the first time, basically, since Sean McDermott's been here, other than the Colts game a couple of seasons ago where they got boat raced. It was a bad matchup. They are missing their starting two linebackers in this game. That really showed. They don't have a third linebacker they can go to in these situations because right now they're playing their third and fourth linebackers as starting linebackers. So when you're facing a team like the Ravens who can play a physical brand of football, you need to add the third linebacker to the field. That third linebacker is Nicholas Morrow, who is not a good player. So that's their fifth linebacker. I don't know how that's Sean McDermott's fault. I also don't know how it's Sean McDermott's fault that Joe Brady called a trick play at a bad moment and it got blown up. I don't know how that's Sean McDermott's fault. I am very rarely will I get on a soapbox and defend Sean McDermott. I don't really agree with anything that you said, Neil. But thank you for the call. Let's go to John in Baltimore. John, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, John. John, you there?
Sorry about that. Yeah, sorry about that. Thanks
for the
call. Hey, just wanted to let you guys know, I'm just leaving the game. Obviously, they boat raced us. That happens. I disagree with the other caller, too. I do agree with him that play maybe didn't need to be called then, and the momentum might have kept in our favor. But at the end of the day, when you think about this game, it's like you said, it's week four. We got a defense that's just decimated with injuries, and they've been playing lights out the past 3 weeks. You can't continue to do that. We need to get healthy, so we need a little bit of time to get healthy here. And maybe we'll get a couple guys back next week or the week after. But when you think back to, like, the 1991 season, the Bills only lost three times. I think it was week six or seven. We lost on Monday night to Kansas City. It was 33-6. I remember as a little kid sitting there watching that game, and they just ran all over us. That's exactly what this game felt like. It felt like there was little glimmers of hope, but they quickly disappeared. And what's happening is everyone's going to overreact now and say, we suck, we're horrible, like, we need to fire people, we need this, that, and the other. We just had three amazing games. The coaches need to get together, and they're going to figure this out. But let's not panic, Buffalo. It's not over. We're 3-1 leading the AFC East, and we're a game ahead of everybody. So we're fine. Let's just get it together. Now, if we do this 3 weeks in a row, we're not fine. But right now, we're okay.
Yeah, thanks for the call, John. Yeah, I think it's, again, I want to go back to, it's a not, it, pound for pound, it wasn't a good matchup for the Bills. The Bills had dominated the line of scrimmage in their first three games, and they got dominated in this game. And I think that's where these games have really come to be won and lost, inside or on the line of scrimmage. And, I think tonight, really from the first play offensively, obviously the 87-yard touchdown speaks for itself. But, they were the best team in football 4 hours ago. And they got beat by a team that lost to the Raiders 2 weeks ago. This is the NFL. It is a week-to-week league. The highs and lows of the season are going to exist. I mean, there's going to be lows. To Josh's point that you ever heard, we'll play Josh back again later on this evening. But, it's good it happened early in the season. Get this one out of the way. They're not going to face another team that's going to run 13 personnel and 23 and 22 and have big, fullbacks and tons of tight ends they can rotate in and out, and have a 250-pound running back who can run 22 miles per hour. There's no other team in football that's going to be able to put that matchup out against the Bills. But, it wasn't a good night, offensively, defensively, or on special teams. Another missed field goal from Tyler Bass, and I think there's a lot to talk about offensively about the Bills right now. One, maybe most notably, is I just don't know what their plan is for Curtis Samuel. I mean, he was a guy that is your most decorated player at the position coming into the season, and he's basically playing out of the backfield as a running back. Or I don't know. They don't really seem to have a good plan to use him. It was a better night for Dalton Kincaid, steady as usual for Khalil Shakir. But at the end of the day, they were unable to find answers offensively, and they're going to have to, figure out offensively what they're going to do to clap back against a very good Houston team that's coming off of a win earlier today against Jacksonville as well. So the Bills will have that opportunity. I know they'll probably be playing pretty pissed next week, and we'll see if they can bounce back in a big way. But thanks for the call. Let's go to Alfonso in Rochester. Alfonso, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Alfonso.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good.
The Ravens definitely dominated the line of scrimmage tonight. I mean, 271 to the Bills, 82. They got to get that fixed. I mean, the Bills coming into the offseason, I heard all season, they said they're going to run the ball more. And, you know, they stuck to it. But you got to look at the team that you're playing. The Ravens, they came to play today. I'm going to be honest. Obviously, they won. They came to play. The Bills came in. They were feeling themselves. They were like, you know, we're going to come in here and, you know, we're playing up against a not-so-great Baltimore team. And Baltimore ran the football on them and showed them, no, we're going to pound the rock and beat you today. I mean, you saw some good things in the second half with them getting a stop and then the Allen touchdown. But I don't know what Joe Brady was smoking on that trick play. I mean, he must have had something good in his water or something, because I don't know what he was doing. I'm running in like Madden off a jet sweep. I don't know. That was stupid. You gotta fix that. So we'll see what happens with the Bills, but they're not out just yet. So they gotta beat Houston next week.
No doubt about it, and thanks for the call, Alfonso. Listen, I mean, I think if you went into the season and you said through four games the Bills would be 3-1, you would take it. You know, I think that's a little bit of perspective to maintain tonight is, yeah, they got bullied by a more physical football team. And it was really right from the beginning. They got the ball first, and they didn't do anything with it. And I think that sort of set the stage. Obviously, the 87-yard run didn't help, but no one's out of it right now. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals are 1-3. They're feeling good after today. They weren't feeling good going into today. So, Ryan in Toronto, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Ryan.
Nate, listen, I'm so frustrated with this Bills team. I think they got exposed defensively and offensively. First of all, Bills are 3-1 right now. Who did they really beat? Arizona. Arizona only win was against the Rams. They beat Miami. Miami's only win was against Jacksonville, and they beat Jacksonville. That's it. This team is fraudulent, honestly.
Ryan, it's one game, man. I mean, they played the teams they play, and they had a giant point differential against both of them. Wait, hold on, Ryan. The Houston Texans had 18-1 with 18 seconds left on the clock against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Bills beat them by 40. It's a week-to-week league, man. Like, fraudulent.
They just beat
the brakes off of that Jacksonville team.
What I'm saying is that right now, they got exposed.
Yeah, a little bit. They got beaten up at the line of scrimmage.
They knew how Baltimore ran the ball for the last 3 weeks. Your main goal is to stop the run.
Ryan, they're playing with two backup linebackers, Ryan, and then their starting safety went out in the middle of the game, too.
Good luck in Houston. Good luck with Jets.
All right, man. Well, listen, if you want to be miserable, be miserable. But, like it's week four. Like, man, I mean, why? Some of you guys are making me sound sane. Like I'm a down-to-earth guy who doesn't panic after these games. I mean, it was tough watch. They got bullied. But fraudulent. I mean, the Ravens lost to the Raiders 2 weeks ago, Ryan. The friggin' Raiders. Like, okay. John in North Buffalo, good evening.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going, man. It's going.
I just want to know, like, is Joe Brady okay? I mean, that trick play in that situation didn't make any sense. You know, it really seems like Curtis Samuel is a major letdown. It almost seems like it's kind of giving, like, Jamison Crowder vibes, like his kind of hype when he came to the Bills.
I actually think it's more like Isaiah McKenzie vibes, where you talk him up all offseason and then doesn't really seem like there's a plan.
Yeah, no, I see that too. And, you know, I just think that Kincaid, whenever he catches the ball, sometimes I just really worry about, like, his health. Sometimes he just, like, gets up really slow. And, you know, sometimes that gets me a little worried. But right now, I just think our defense is seeming a little suspect, mainly because nobody can stay healthy. I mean, we're losing a starter a game, it seems like. And if that trajectory remains the same, like, that's a major problem. And right now, you know, for this game, I think a lot of it could have been different if McDermott was more aggressive on fourth down at the beginning of the game.
You know, I don't know that the game is necessarily different, John. Thanks for the call. But, you know, listen, it was frustrating, to say the least, to see being aggressive on that first drive on fourth and one and then not going for it, you know, whatever it was, five plays later. Sean McDermott, you know, in comparison to his peers at the head coaching, as being a head coach and being, you know, aggressive on fourth down, he's one of the most aggressive coaches in the league on fourth down. But it's not necessarily, to me, the consistency of it, because I think consistently he does make the right call on fourth downs. But it's in these bigger moments, it's in the bigger, more important games where he starts coaching to not lose rather than being aggressive and trying to play for the win. This is not a fourth and six from your own 10-yard line. So I think for me, that's the more disappointing thing to me, is in these bigger moments or when you have opportunities to continue being aggressive, he kind of goes away from that. So I think that's where my frustration comes from. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Brian in Williamsville. Brian, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Yeah, I want to say I'd rather have seen a couple more deep shots, especially in the opening quarter / first half, where you could keep Baltimore off their feet offensively, keep your defense a little bit more fresh. And that means if you have to throw it more than run it occasionally, depending on the matchup like tonight, I'm all for that, because they were outclassed, they were outplayed, at least offensively in the first half. Defensively, I can't blame Raff because of all the injuries. And look at it, it's piling up defensively, and they need some help somewhere on the defense, but they need some help with a couple more. I think they need to get one or two more wide receivers if they're going to go deep this year. I know people shouldn't panic yet.
Yeah, I'm not sure why anyone would necessarily be panicking anyways. Like I said, they're 3-1. They're in first place in the division, and they got punched in the face by a very physical football team. I think it happens. Let's go to Tom in San Antonio. Good evening to you, Tom.
Yes, good evening. You know, I just want to focus on the defense briefly, and I think – and I'm not here to trash the guy, but what I think we're seeing is Bobby Babich, his vulnerabilities as a rookie defensive coordinator. He's like a kid on a bike with training wheels. And even though you saw that in the first game against Arizona, I mean, they were just basically shredding him, and he just kept staying in a vanilla defense. And, you know, they had a couple other games there, you know, in the interim. But tonight, you know, granted the injuries, but that's all the more reason why you have to show your opponent different looks. If you remember, and I'm sure you do, Sean McDermott, you know, he brings guys up to the line, shows them a look, guys drop off. A guy would blitz, they would blitz Poyer, they would blitz Hyde, one guy, a cornerback here and there. And I'm not talking about mad blitzing over here, but I am talking about coming up to the line, showing them different looks, backing off, doing whatever. You just can't sit in a four basic defense, four defensive linemen. Your linebackers are here, and you got the two deep guys. And they were in that look the entire game, except when they came out in the second half and they finally blitzed. Again, I'm not advocating mad blitzing here, but you just can't really sit there in that defense because they're going to shred you, especially with a team like that. So anyway, I'll hang up and listen to – I mean, I won't hang up, but, you know, I'll listen to your call.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Tom. yeah, listen, I think I saw Mina Kimes tweet about it, and I agreed, which was going into the second half, they needed to change from – here's the problem, is the Bills' defensive line, part of their – principles, especially on the interior, is they're penetrating, right? They want to get upfield. That was the Ravens did a wonderful job using that against them. A couple of those, like, I think it was like a draw play to Justice Hill that they had where, I mean, guys were just 4 or 5 yards upfield, and the running back's just running right past them. Their offensive line was able to get downhill, get to the linebacker level, and Baylen Specter and Dorian Williams. Dorian had an okay game. Baylen Specter had a really difficult game, probably his worst since being in the lineup here regularly. He just couldn't get off blocks, and, you know, very rarely does Derrick Henry go down on first contact. You need to... You know, you need a gang tackle and get to the ball, and the Bills tonight were just very much on their heels. And that's just sometimes the way that it goes. And I think for me, the thing I'll take from this game is very few teams are going to be able to put the Bills into three linebacker situations. Right now, the Bills had tonight their third, fourth, and fifth string linebackers on the field playing meaningful snaps. In fact, they played all game, and it wasn't because of what they were able to do against the pass. The Bills couldn't stop the run, and like that's sometimes how it goes. So, thanks for the call. Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. Rob, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Rob.
Hey, Nate, what's going on? No sugar high tonight, right?
No, sir.
No sugar high tonight. But listen, I'm listening to a lot of these callers, and you know I'm a Bills fan for a long time, and I'm a very positive person. Listen, it's the fourth game of the season. We lost. I didn't like it. We don't like losing. Accept it. Move forward. We got next week. Houston almost lost today to Jacksonville. That's the way I look at it. But the most important game is coming up. And the other morning, Joe and Jeremy were talking, and Jeremy asked, out of the next three away games, which game do you want to win the most? And you know which game we want to win the most. And that's against the New York Jets, the New Jersey Jets, who lost to the Broncos today, which was beautiful. So let's put this game behind us. Everybody relax. You're not the coach. Let them do what they do. All you guys were out there, yay, 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 these last three games. Now all of a sudden we lose one game, and everybody's crying and bitching and moaning. Stop. Be a true fan and support your team and the coaches and move forward from this game. Be positive. Come on, guys. We got 14 games left. Believe. I mean, we got Milano's out. We got Terrell Bernard is out. Johnson is out. Come on. All the next man up have been doing their jobs.
Yeah.
The Ravens,
and they got exposed tonight, Rob.
Give the Ravens credit.
Yep.
They did their homework. They did their homework, but let me tell you what. October 14th is circled. New York Jets, here we go. We are going to take them out. Trust me when I say this. Have a good night, Nate.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Rob. Listen, I agree. It's definitely the Ravens deserve some credit for what they were able to do tonight. And, you know, listen, I mean, they weren't going to go 17-0. And, again, I just kind of want to keep leaning on the fact that this was not a good matchup for them, like scheme for scheme, roster for roster. They may have to get through Baltimore eventually to win. And listen, I'd like their chances in a rematch against this team, knowing that how Lamar and how this Ravens team has played in the playoffs historically. Again, 2 weeks ago, they lost to the Las Vegas Raiders. So they have a bad loss on their record. The Bills have a bad loss on their record. It's the NFL. That's going to happen week in and week out. Teams across the league are going to have bad losses. That's just the way that it goes. Before we get more phone calls, let's check in with the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. And obviously on offense, still an ugly night. Josh Allen goes 16-29 for 180 yards. He was sacked 3 times and finished with a passer rating of 73.9. James Cook led the way rushing, 9 for 39 in this game. Josh Allen 5 for 21, and then through the air, a couple of guys standing out: Khalil Shakir 4 for 62 in this game, Keon Coleman 3 for 51, and Dalton Kincaid 5 for 47. Those are your Skyworks stats of the game. As we wait for Bills head coach Sean McDermott, we'll continue getting connected with other fans. It's brought to you by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's go to Riley in Baltimore. Riley, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, Nate. You know, I think the last 2 weeks really show that this league is week to week. Right, last week we looked like we were world beaters. We looked like the best team in the NFL. And this week we come out and we get boat raced. I agree with you that the Ravens present a unique challenge to what Sean McDermott and Billy Babich are trying to do. You know, we're trying to keep things in front of us. We're built for a passing league, and the Ravens are a bit of an anomaly, especially with Derrick Henry and with Lamar Jackson. Think about back to the games. Going into this game, I was thinking, you know what? Sean McDermott has done well against Lamar. He's contained Lamar. But when you think back to those other Ravens games, who was it that stepped up and shined in those games? It was Taron Johnson with the pick six in the playoff game. It was Matt Milano running down Lamar when he got loose. And unfortunately, their strength matched up with our weakness. I thought there was some stuff to look forward to with Deon Coleman. I'm excited to see, depending on how the Tyler Rapp situation plays out, I'm excited to see Cole Bishop back there with some extended time. And,
Riley, I got to put you up on hold because I got Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
They outplayed us. They outcoached us. We've got to identify the problems and get them fixed. Winning the line of scrimmage was a challenge for us tonight consistently. And if you don't win the line of scrimmage, and that's a whole team thing, not just the O-line and D-line, but overall, we've got to do a better job up front, O-line and D-line, and then collectively as a team winning the line of scrimmage. So I thought Josh was moving off the spot quite a bit tonight, made some great plays doing that, but then it's just not the healthiest way to live back there. So, like I said, we'll make the adjustments we need to make. We got to make them quickly, and we move on from there. So I'll take your questions.
John, first drive, you converted fourth and one, fourth and two at the 50. You decide to punt. What went into that decision, especially considering the last couple of games in similar situations you had a lot of success?
Yeah, field position at that point. So we went for the fourth, and it was actually less than one. I know it was probably one on the scoreboard, but less than one felt like we had a pretty good chance inside of a yard there with Josh. And then the other one was fourth and two and just shy of the 50 on our side a little bit there. So it felt like... just the feel of the game at that point, it was too early to take that chance right there. But, I'll look back at that and evaluate like I do everything.
Along those same lines, fourth and one later in the first half, your side of the field. Also, at that point, though, your defense had been having a tough time getting stops. Why decide to punt it away in that situation?
Yeah, again, it was that was a full yard in that situation. Again, not giving away strategy and play type and everything. So it just felt like, again, what we're looking at in those situations early in the game, at least, was inside that yard right there. And that's what we had, and that's why we went for it.
Felt like you guys were building momentum in the second half offensively. Call that trick play after the touchdown on first down. Can you take me through that, the decision to make that call there?
Yeah, I think that's something Joe and I will talk about and something we'll learn from there. And we'll move forward off of it. But certainly a momentum change right there.
Sean, 87-yard touchdown for them to start the game. From your view, could you see, was it a schemed up well call, or did you guys miss something there?
Well, I mean, a little bit of both. I mean, schemed up well, yes, because they executed and we really didn't even touch the running back. And, they ran what we call a wham against our three technique there. And we've got to be in better position and I know we've done that before, so that's something, one of the things right away we'll learn from.
Sean, you got a chance in the fourth quarter, first play, to make it a two-possession game with Tyler. He's wide left, not particularly close. You've been steadfast in your confidence in him all along here, but when you need a kick and he doesn't come through, at what point does that confidence begin to waver?
Well, we are confident in Tyler. He made a good kick earlier in the game. Does he need to make that kick? Absolutely. And he'll continue to work on those. So we've got a lot of areas to improve on, that being one of them. And like I said, we fly back. We're starting to work on them right away.
What did they do defensively to put so much pressure on Josh on me?
Well, I think it was a combination of four-man rush and then some pressure, some blitzing as well. Seemed like we were getting... we could not get into a rhythm enough offensively, and then in particular in the high red, some of the fringe area, they were either pressuring or getting pressure with their four, and some of the drives that we did have, in fact, were stalling out there.
Keon had one in the first half, looked like maybe went through his hands that he probably wants back, but he did make a couple of tough contested catches in the second half. What did you take away from his game?
Yeah, he's learning. He's learning, and he's new to the NFL, new to how physical the game is out on the perimeter. The Ravens corners play physical and they friction and they make it tough. They're sticky out there, and I thought he made some real good contested catches in the second half for sure.
Sean, the trick play that Joe calls out of the box like that, is that something that gets discussed prior to where, hey, you know, this drive, if I can look, I might go to this play as opposed to just calling straight offensive normal plays?
You know, most of the time, not most of the time, it's during the week we talk about it. You know, so again, that's something that Joe and I will discuss at length, and I'm sure he wants that call back. I do as well, and we'll learn from that and move forward.
What went into the decision to go with three linebackers kind of in the second quarter there?
Well, personnel. When they were in a certain personnel group, we played more of a bigger lineup than being in nickel.
Well, just, they work the screen game quite often tonight. How did you feel your linebackers fared in defending against those plays?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I don't want to single out a certain position, but overall as a defense, when you're talking about draws, screens, those types of things, we got to do a better job of feeling the game and the indicators and the keys. I didn't think we did a good enough job overall as a defense in that regard.
Sean, what happened there with Connor when it seems like he was back out, what was kind of the dialogue with
him? Yeah, so, you know, obviously with the injury, he was spotted from above and was pulled out. And then it was our understanding that he was cleared, which to my knowledge was the case. I'm not sure exactly what went on. There was seemingly a disconnect between above and then what was going on the field in that situation. So that's why we were a little bit at a loss at that point. So that's my understanding at this point.
Sean, any game you lose, you got to come back from. This is a rare thing. You guys don't usually lose. It's been 3 years since you lost by more than a touchdown. Is it different? Do you approach it differently because of the way this game went than just if you lost a close game?
Not necessarily. I think it's important early in the year that we're consistent in our approach, that I'm consistent for the guys in that locker room and the staff. That said, there's enough that's going to take me. It's an hour plane ride home. I wish it was a 5-hour plane ride because I'd have enough time to find all the things that we need to work on. So it just wasn't up to our standard tonight. And I say that in the way of, you know, we have to do things better fundamentally, execution wise. And it's not just one position. It's we as a collective, as a team, have to fundamentally do a better job and physically do a better job.
Sean Henry ended up with almost 200 rushing yards. What made him specifically so hard for you guys to stop tonight?
Well, when you give up the first run, you know, he's running downhill the rest of the night, basically. And so, you know, again, you know, point of attack defense, gap integrity. You know, he's a good running back and a heck of a player, future Hall of Famer. Give him his credit. So, you know, again, adjustments. We've got to find the problems from today, from tonight, and make them quick here. All right, thank you.
All right, that is Bills head coach Sean McDermott following their 35-10 loss. And Sean McDermott's coach's podium is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. We got a bunch of breaks to get to. Before we get to it, though, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, time out. After this, we will continue taking your phone calls at 803-0550. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. We're going to hear from Greg Rousseau in just a moment. Before we do, let's get connected with our fans. And it's brought to you by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's go to Tom in Oakfield. Tom, thank you and good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you. Yeah, a rough one to watch tonight, no doubt. But I don't know that anybody was going to beat Baltimore tonight. And again, like a lot of people have been saying, you got a MVP, future Hall of Famer. You got a coach that's, you know, one of the top coaches in the league. It was It was a rough one to watch, but I think a lot of the frustration I have with this season is not necessarily with the Bills, but it's with the nature of their schedule over the first, you know, 7-8 weeks. I mean, you have a Thursday night game, you have a Sunday night game, you have a Monday night game.
Three straight on the road coming up here.
Three straight on the road. I mean, it just feels like it's got to physically wear on you, and the defense definitely looked a little slower tonight. I think maybe some of the receivers felt that as well. And I don't know, on some level it just seems unfair, but they're a good team. That's why they're getting these primetime games, and we went so many years without one, and it's kind of nice to see them on primetime, but it does feel like it's taking its toll. And looking forward optimistically, you know, we have more home games in December, more 1 o'clock games. So I'm hoping at that point, especially with a team that's still has so many new faces on it, that's the time that we're going to kind of gel and peak. I mean, we could easily be at 1-3 right now. We're at 3-1. Hopefully, if we get to the second half of the season, you know, still with a winning record, the division doesn't look like anybody's a real threat to us, knock on wood. But I'd rather see us peak in November and December than, you know, and again, I think some of these early losses and you know, the history of the team, that sometimes they just need a little bit of a slap in the face. I feel like they read their presses. You're the greatest team in the league. And it's we need to take a step back. And you're never going to try to get better if you think you're the best. So that's my optimistic take on it. And I think we're in for a better second half of the year. I am worried about the next 2 or 3 weeks. Again, not necessarily because we're being outclassed, but like you said, the schedule is just, it just seems horrible.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a challenge. Thanks for the call, Tom. You know, they'll have an opportunity to get right back to it next week, a 1 p.m. game against Houston, and that'll be an important game for them. You know, two teams that are 3-1, and, you know, we'll see if they can bounce back. Let's go to the locker room so we can hear from Bills edge rusher Greg Rousseau, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
I could be better, and it's one game out of 17, so not going to overthink it.
Greg, what happened on the first play of the game from your perspective?
I mean, they had a good play. We didn't fit it right, and they hit a big one. It's hard to stop them in open field. So yeah.
How much of a gut punch was that play?
I mean, it was a gut punch, but I felt like we were fighting back. Even in the second half, I felt like we were about to make a run in like the third quarter, early third quarter, but it just didn't go that way.
You guys did. You buckled up a little bit at the end of the half, and then you came out in the third quarter. What was the messaging at halftime?
Just one play at a time. We stopped them 2 3-and-outs in a row, and then they had the short field, and then the rest is history.
You haven't lost like this in 3 years, like losing by more than a touchdown.
Yeah.
Can this be a wake-up call, this kind of loss?
I mean, it happens. I mean, every game is 1/17th of the season, so this is what it is. I mean, even if you win by a million, lose by a million, next Sunday you got a football game, so just focus in on that.
All right, that was Bills edge rusher Gregory Rousseau following tonight's disappointing butt whooping to the Baltimore Ravens 35-10. Like I said, I got a bunch of breaks that I got to get to. You can give us a shot at 803-0550, the number to call if you want to get your thoughts in. We'll take a time out here, get back to you, and get some more sound and reaction from the locker room. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Back to pass, looking to his right, pocket collapsing, pumps, rolls out to his right to buy time, looking for anybody, heaves it, he's got Shakir deep at the 20, caught, 15, 10, and tackled at the 4-yard line. It's first and goal, Buffalo, as Allen makes a huge off-script play.
One of the only few bright spots from tonight's game, and your eye on the quarterback here, is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. And again, really the only highlight of tonight's game, a 52-yard reception from Khalil Shakir. And, you know, Allen finishes in this game 16 of 29, 180 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, was sacked 3 times, and finished with a passer rating of 73.9. Let's go back to the phones, get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Brandon in North Tonawanda, you are on the postgame show. Good evening, Brandon.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. What I was going to talk about was the trick play. And I know Brady, for the last, like, 3 weeks, he's been consistent with our offense. Today, he tried to do something to get our offense to at least keep their heads up, and it didn't work. But if it did, maybe we could have got back into the game. And that's basically it. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Brandon. Let's go to Joel in Gettysburg. Joel, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Joel.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, I got you.
Cool, man. So my take is not that I want to give Sean McDermott any passes, but it's so crazy the amount of responsibility that he has between Bobby Babich and Joe Brady and the game itself and the fourth downs and it's all that kind of stuff. You got to really put a lot of trust. And in my thing with Joe Brady, I'm just like, why don't we have, like, any go-to plays? Like, every time I was at the game tonight, and it's like, oh, yeah, Lamar's just going to do roll out north of Justice Hill. And it's like, I feel like we should just have, like, go-to plays that can just be count, that we can count on. But for some reason, every time we – every offensive play, I had no, like, confidence. And I hate that, you know?
Yeah, and Joel, I don't hang up, too, because I just wanted to get this thought out and you can finish your statement there. I think too that the Bills had their way through the first three games, kind of doing whatever they wanted to do offensively. And I don't disagree with your thought of like, they just didn't have like something that they could go to, a bread and butter, something where it's like, okay, hey, when all else fails, we can lean on this. And I do agree with that. I think that, you know, the Ravens were able to physical them at the line of scrimmage like the Jaguars were not last week. The Jaguars kept running man coverage and they really couldn't get hands on receivers. But this Marlon Humphrey is a good physical corner, and I thought that they did a good job jamming at the line of scrimmage. I think it moved them off of their stem a little bit, and for the first time this season I saw Josh holding on to the football a little bit more. Some inaccurate throws, a couple of throws to Mac Collins that I saw that were just, you know, inaccurate throws. So I think that early on in the game, because they just couldn't really establish any momentum, that it really just threw them off their game. And on top of that, too, Joel, like, I think that they really kind of had a lot of success running the football, but they had to get away from it because they were down, right? I thought James Cook was having a good game, but they were down 14-3 in the blink of an eye, and you can't really, you know, sit there and try to establish the run. So they became very one-dimensional, and when you become one-dimensional like that, I mean, you're much easier to defend, you know, and I think that's really what it came down to at the end of the day.
Yeah, and my last thing, like, I know a lot of callers have already discussed that trick play. When I saw it live, I was, like, at the section 126, like, you know, near the 50-yard line. I was shook because we had such momentum. Like, yeah. We have Josh Allen. Like, what are we doing, man? So, anyways, I'll thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Joel. And listen, I think if the trick play goes another way, you know, we're talking about what a genius Joel Brady is. But, you know, it went poorly. It was well read by the defense. I could have probably told you Josh Allen was going to get the ball lined up at wide receiver, but alas. Let's go to the locker room. We're going to hear from Bills right tackle Spencer Brown, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything you need, your home needs, trust Reimer.
Not too often that you guys don't win up front, but tonight that was definitely the case. You guys did not win up front tonight.
Yeah.
Just thoughts on what happened.
Didn't win up front, and they had a good scheme and they executed it well, and we see the play better.
Penetration was a problem all night. Was it just stunts? Was it just physicality? What is?
I mean, I thought we were pretty comfortable in the run game. My honest opinion on it, I haven't seen the film obviously yet, so I don't know how to answer that yet. But I felt confident with me and Saba what we're doing. I can't comment on the other side, but I know that Saba and I were confident the whole night.
Sorry, Spencer. What about communication? Loud stadium. How did that go for you guys tonight?
It wasn't a problem. Just sound counts, no big deal. Connor did a good job. Alex did a good job. Saba did a good job relaying the information to me. I thought we were had a good game plan and executed to the best of our ability.
You have been a long time since you guys have lost like this. I mean, every loss that you've had has been a close game. What's it like to, you know, to feel one of these?
I mean, it's just the way the NFL is. And every single week, you can either win or lose. And I think I'd take this as a punch in the mouth. And that wakes me up personally. So I think it's going to wake a lot of guys up. But that's the beauty of the NFL. I mean, last week you scored 35 or 40 points. And this week you only scored 10. And that's just the up and downs of the NFL. And that's why I come back next week for prepare.
Did it feel like in the second quarter when you guys finally started moving the ball? Like, what was different?
I think I think we're just executing plays better. We knew we were in a hole, and we knew we had a strain, and I think guys respond well to that here. And we were making plays, and then kind of just fell apart there. But we had—I agree with you—we had the momentum there, and we just lost it. And when you're in a tight ball game like this, or down, you can't really lose it. And when you do, you saw the result.
All right, once again, Bills right tackle Spencer Brown, brought to you by Reimer Home Services, for everything your home needs. Trust Reimer. Timeout. Other side. Continue taking phone calls at 803-0550. Don't go anywhere. This is Buffalo Bills football. Here's the snap. Hand off to Johnson. Going to bust it outside. It's a race to the pylon. And he is in. And Buffalo is in business. A 3-yard touchdown run by Ty Johnson. And they're up off the bench on the Buffalo sideline. Chris Brown on the call there. Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I'm Nick Geary. The Bills fall tonight. They go to 3-1, 35-10. At that point in the game, it felt like maybe the momentum was changing. The Bills force a 3-and-out. They get that touchdown and turn it to a 21-10 game. But that's really where it ended for the Bills. And Bills got another stop defensively, but then, you know, the turnover, and here we are. Let's go back to the phones, get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's go to Tom in Binghamton. Tom, you're on the postgame show. Good evening to you, Tom. Hey, Tom, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm not too depressed with the game because, you know, after last year's playoffs, I kind of figure the Bills are really the Dallas Cowboys of the AFC, right? They're going to make it to the first round, maybe the second round, but they're not going to go much further than that. I mean, Dak Prescott, McCarthy, you know, Allen and McDermott are the same in the AFC, and I just don't know how you get out of it. And, you know, unless you start fresh after their contracts are up, but, I mean, it is what it is. Allen's 1-5, 1-4 against the Ravens, and he's 0-3 against the Chiefs in the playoffs. I mean, it's just, we're the third or fourth best team in AFC, and we're probably going to be that way this year. So I'm not too sure how you get around that. But, you know, I'm not after 16 years of not making the playoffs, I'm glad we're in it. I'm still looking forward to being in it. But I don't have my, I've never had my hopes set of the Super Bowl because I just don't see it. I see us being the third or best, fourth best team, and Allen being the third or fourth best quarterback in the AFC. You know, until they start winning and beating these teams, I just don't, I can't convince myself any other ways.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Tom. I've never heard them called the Cowboys of the AFC, but that certainly hit a little different. Thanks for the call, Tom. Let's go live to the locker room. We're going to hear from Bills linebacker Baylen Specter, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services, for everything your home needs. Trust Reimer.
To come out and be physical, make them one dimensional as best they can, and they came out early and got on us.
What do you think happened on the first play of the game, Baylen?
I just don't think we got to come out and communicate better and do a great job just reading keys, doing simple stuff. Like I said, just treating it honestly. Seeing what's wrong and going up from there and correcting it.
I don't think you've been here yet for a loss like that. It's been a long time. Like, what's the key to recovering from something like this?
I just think, like I said, going in, getting correction from the tape, seeing what we did wrong, seeing where we got to get things fixed, and go from there. Not wash it by, look by it. Got to go and get everybody back on the same page and correct it and keep going.
How much of a punch in the gut, though, was it the first play of the game to get gashed like that?
It definitely sucks, but we just got to, like I said, like Kim on the sideline, settle in, take it one play at a time, do the best we can.
It seemed like it did settle in a little bit towards the end of the first half, and especially to start the second half. What was the key? What was the reason why you guys were able to kind of get going a little bit on defense there?
Like I was telling him, we came in half time, just hey, one play at a time, one series at a time, one quarter at a time, and read our keys, do our job. And the things that we messed up on, like I said, we just got to go in, treat it honestly, and do better, correct it.
All right, that is Bills linebacker Baylen Specter. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's grab one more phone call and then take another time out. Hudson in Cleveland, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Hudson.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can.
Hi, so I'm going to take an opposite approach. I think a lot of fans need to change their expectations for the season. We weren't even favored to win the division before. We're 3-1. The Jets don't look like world beaters. The Dolphins season's hanging on by the thread. Patriots are the Patriots. We're down 5 defensive starters. I think the difference this year is we're going to maybe get them back by January. I say the winner of AFC East gets 10 wins. I say focus on that. Don't focus on the number one seed. Get healthy by January. And we're not the Cowboys. We have to face Mahomes, which is a generational player every year. It's just, it's the reality of it. And I think one year we're going to get it by it, but just focus on the AFC East and getting that home field game.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Hudson. I think it's probably the right approach, right? I mean, and again, I maybe want to just go and say that, like, going into week one, I think a lot of people would have taken a 3-1 start where they had two blowout games, and yeah, they got blown out themselves. But yeah, it's just it's the NFL. It's a week by week league, and a lot of things can change. 803-0550. The number to call. Timeout on the other side. We'll continue taking phone calls. We'll keep getting sound and reaction from the locker room. You're listening to the Buffalo Bills postgame show. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
He's on the loose and down to the 40. Upended, and the ball is out. And the Bills say they have it. It looked like Rasul Douglas upended him. And he dropped the football, and the Bills were all over it. Well, there's a play that Buffalo needed.
Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. We've got a couple more minutes. We're going to hear from Josh Allen again. If you missed that, we'll have that for you in about 10 minutes. Before we do that, let's get connected with our fans again, and it's powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Bernard in Buffalo, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Bernard.
Yeah, I watched the game tonight. It was disappointing. What I don't understand, what the Buffalo Bills do all the time in games, they had the momentum going their way. It was 20-10. They put Josh Allen out there as a wide receiver to throw a ball, which was a bonehead play. We always mess up those trick plays. You put him in danger. You lose the game, and you almost lose your quarterback, too, because they hit him high in the head. And they don't want him to run around. They don't want to put him in danger, himself in danger. But they're going to put him out as wide receiver. I don't – why the Bills do that? I don't get it.
Yeah, Bernard, I'll tell you, it wasn't a great call. And I know Sean McDermott's lack of comments after the game, I know he probably felt the same way. All right, let's go to the locker room. Let's go live and hear from Bills offensive guard Osiris Torrance. And it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer.
You guys aren't used to losing like this. You haven't been a part of this. What's the key to kind of making sure you just get right back at it next week?
Just watching the film, having an open mind, and being critical of ourselves and seeing what we did good and, like, praising it, but also seeing what we did wrong and correcting it and, like, facing it and not trying to run away from it.
Some pass protection breakdowns tonight that you haven't had the first 3 weeks. From your perspective, why do you think that happened?
Probably from just communicating could be better and just not trying to be a hero on certain plays. I know I had a brush up myself and I was just trying to do too much, thinking that somebody's coming when somebody isn't, trying to block more than just my guy, and just being able to just take a deep breath, focus, and do our job and block the man in front of us.
You did have a little something going in the second half there on offense. Tell me a little bit about halftime and coming out and what the messaging was.
Halftime, just came in and talked about, like, players in here have been in this situation before and just going out there and playing our game. We talked about what we did last week. We were able to score 35 in the first half. So it was like, we can do it again this week. And he came out firing, and just some plays didn't go our way, and kind of thing, we were able to get the job done.
All right, there's Bills offensive guard Osiris Torrance. Let's grab another phone call from Adam from Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Adam, good evening.
Hey, good evening, Nate.
What do you got?
Here's my word now after tonight. We built this defensive program around stopping Lamar and Travis Henry, and put it bluntly, dismally failed. Now we're going up against a team that has an air raid style offense, so Babich is now going to say, all right, we got to focus on stopping the pass. I'm lost. I'm not sure if we're going to be a 4-1 team or a 3-2 team based on what I saw tonight. What are your thoughts?
I would say, Adam, that they're far better built to stop the pass. This is what this defense is built to do, is stop the pass. It's not a good matchup for them going up against a power run team. It's just they don't really have the size right now. They're down to their third, fourth, and fifth linebackers. And, this is the Houston Texans are not a team that are running the ball particularly with a lot of effectiveness. They're a defense that's built to to stop the pass. So I think they'll be in a better – it's a much better matchup this coming week against Houston than it was Baltimore.
All right. Sanity break. Thank you, Nate.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate the call. We're going to take a timeout on the side. We're going to get you Josh Allen, who spoke a little while ago. If you missed that, we'll bring that to you coming up next here. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Welcome back to the Buffalo Bills postgame show here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Let's go back to the podium and hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen.
Never felt like you guys got comfortable on offense. Can you kind of talk about some of the problems?
Yeah, I mean, I think they had a good plan, a good pressure plan. They made more plays than we did, and, you know, it was evident right away. They had more urgency than we did, and that's something we'll correct. Not everything was bad in this game. I don't want us to come away from this saying, you know, we're the worst, and lots to learn from. I'm glad this happened early in the season, so we can correct things.
Just your perspective, what happened on the play with Curtis, the fake play, and were you all right injury-wise after that? Obviously.
Yeah. You know, coach called a shot, and you know, the guy made a good play, and that's as simple as it is. He dove inside. I tried to stay out, and I was just trying to get rid of the ball, and guy made a good play, and that's what it comes down to.
Did you have any impact on your, I think it looked like you were looking at your shoulder afterwards. Was there any impact on that?
No, it was more just my low back hitting the ground than anything, so we're good.
What kind of challenges did they present, some edge blitzes and for your line and also communication-wise?
Yeah, make no mistake, that's a good team that we just played. You know, and when they're playing that well, especially on the offense side of the ball, you know, we as an offense have to figure it out, and we have to find a way to match scores. And again, we just didn't do a good enough job tonight. You know, it starts with me, and takes everybody in this building to keep winning and continue winning games. And, you know, like I said, a lot to learn from, and we'll watch this tape, learn from it, flesh it, and look to the next.
Josh, how much of a kick in the gut was it, the Derrick Henry play in their first play? That put you in a hole immediately. Just how much of a gut punch was that to get that early?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, we're going to hit adversity throughout games, throughout the season. You know, we got to find a way to answer, and we just didn't do that tonight.
What did you learn about the team tonight, your team?
Again, I think the no blink mentality, down 21-3 at halftime, get the ball, score a touchdown. You know, had an opportunity to make it 21-17, and we turned the ball over. So, again, we were down and out early on, and we kind of stopped the bleeding, and again, we could have done more to really put a Band-Aid over it, and we just let it slip away. So, you know, those plays are really big in the grand scheme of things, and they altered the game. But make no mistake about it, they came out, like I said, with urgency, and, you know, they whipped our butt.
You mentioned their defensive game plan. Was there anything that surprised you about it, or was it just execution on their end?
Oh, I mean, I think, you know, it was execution on them. They had a good game. Those guys get on the other side, get paid too. So they made, like I said, more plays than us, and we'll learn from it, and we'll be better from this one.
The 52-yard play to Shakir, just what happened on that, being able to extend the play and everything?
Yeah. Again, they brought a little bit of pressure. We had a max protect on, and they dropped a few guys into zone underneath where I wanted to go, and just tried to extend and make a play, and Cleo did a good job of scramble drill there.
So many new guys on this team. You know, there's not a lot of the same guys as years past. How do you ensure that there's not an avalanche and that you guys don't ride the roller coaster after a tough game?
Because again, I think the guys that make up this locker room understand who we are, what we are. Bless you. And we're not going to let this again avalanche. The guys that we have in this building are smart. The guys that have played a lot of football in their careers, so they understand the ebbs and flows of an NFL season, and, you know, this is going to happen time to time. You know, sometimes you walk into a building, and they were a buzzsaw tonight. They kicked our butt. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Josh, Keon had one in the first half that he probably want back, but he did make a couple of nice contested catches in the second half. Did you say anything to him after that one in the first half, and how good was it to see him make a couple plays there in the second?
Yeah, it was really, really good to see him make some plays, especially after that first one. You know, you don't really, especially now in this league, you don't need to say anything to guys, right? Like, if you do, I think you got some problems. Everybody's trying to do their best. Everybody wants to win. And sometimes, again, plays are going to happen like that, and we're not going to hang our hat on it. We're not going to make us not go to him anymore. You know, it's not the last time it's going to happen either. I mean, we're going to have to find ways to put plays like that aside and keep moving forward, and we just didn't do that tonight.
What did you see from their rush play that they were either able to keep you in the pocket or sometimes were able to get out?
I mean, I think, again, the communication that we have with me and the O-line could have been better tonight. That's something, again, we'll look at and we'll clean up. But they did, again, they had a solid plan. They kind of understood what we were trying to do, and we got to make adjustments in game.
Dalton Kincaid has yet to surpass 50 yards in a game this season. You think you need to get him going a little bit more to help this offense?
You know, it's not just one certain player we're trying to get going. I'd love to get everybody over 50, over 100 yards every game. You know, and we just got to understand what defenses are trying to do, who they're trying to take away, and you know, make the right reads and throw it to the right guys. Hey, guys.
That was Bills quarterback Josh Allen, and that live locker room sound is brought to you by Reimer Home Services. For everything your home needs, trust Reimer. That's going to do it back here for me in our Amherst studios on our flagship WGR Sports Radio 550 and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Our flagship starting tomorrow morning. We'll have live reaction starting at 6 a.m. with Jeremy and Joe. So don't go anywhere. Don't miss that tomorrow morning on Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Appreciate your listening. This is Buffalo Bills Football.